Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood weeknights here on ESPN 1000 with open phone lines. That 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I'll follow you back guaranteed. A reminder, a program reminder, tomorrow I'll be with Carmen. Carmen DeFalco will be doing Carmen and Yurko together between 12 and 2. So I will not be here tomorrow night, but Fred will be here, I think, tomorrow night. But if you're looking for me tomorrow night, not doing a show from home, not doing a show from the bar, but I will be with Carmen between 12 and 2 tomorrow here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So glad that you're with us here on this Monday. So what are the Bulls going to do in the draft? Ask the question on the streets, right? People want to know what the Bulls are going to do in the draft. I will tell you that I believe that the Bulls will find a quality player in the draft. I don't believe that that quality player should be Michael Porter, but I kind of feel it very well could be Michael Porter. Michael Porter is a 6'11 small forward slash center from Missouri, right? The only issue I have with Michael Porter, and I know that he came in with a lot of credentials, someone that had first-round talent and had number one pick talent before his back injury. And that just gives me pause. Because when he comes to the back, you just don't know if that kid's going to be 100%. And as I told Eric and Felix coming into the show, if someone takes Michael Porter before I do or after I do, say Cleveland takes him at 8 and thinks that that's going to be a difference maker because LeBron's leaving, or if New York takes him at 9, or if Orlando jumps ahead and takes him at 6. If that's what you're going to do and someone takes him, then that's fine. And if he becomes a superstar and I'm wrong about it, I'll just be wrong about it. I just have an issue with that back. And I don't know what this is going to be about. Like, you want him to be 100% healthy. But the other thing is that if he's got a back issue, then maybe I would just pass. And that's not a knock on the kid as much as it is just like getting around someone that already comes in with an injury situation. So Michael Porter Jr. was on with Will Cain on the Will Cain Show. And he feels that he is a perfect fit for today's NBA.
I think I'm just going to be an immediate impact guy. Will help, you know, transform a franchise. You know, I feel like I did so many things on the court, and I'm the perfect fit for today's NBA game. And I want to go in there and, you know, be special from the jump. I don't want it to take long for me to be one of the best players in the NBA. And I just think the teams see that reward, but they also are a little concerned with the medical stuff. So, you know, my agent has been great in getting all that medical information figured out. So teams are feeling a lot more comfortable.
What about your hip, though?
No, man. That situation got exaggerated a lot. So I just woke up normal, felt normal, went to the gym, warming up. And I just, like, my hip was just a little sore from the day before. You know, I've been working crazy hard the past 4 weeks, right. Getting ready for pro day and all that. And it was just a little sore. So I told Mark, he told me to tell him if anything's bothering me. So I just told him my hip's a little sore. He just wanted to shut it down for a couple of days. And then people took that and kind of ran with it, say, you know, my hip is injured, you know, I couldn't get out of bed, which none of that was really true. I was just sore, and I wanted to take a couple of days off, so that's all that was.
Who wants you?
I'm getting a pretty good sense of teams. You know, they've my medical information, they got it, and they've been there my pro day, so they know what I could do. And I think a lot of teams, pretty high, feel very comfortable, and I'm feeling great, you know. So I'm getting a good sense, but, you know, I won't know till Thursday night.
Who's showing the most interest in you right now? What teams?
I mean, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's crazy. Like, all those teams are really, really talking a lot about me. You know, and I'm sure there's going to be some trades that go on. So we'll see. But all those teams right at the front are talking a lot to me, thinking that I'd be a great piece for them.
Trades, huh? How do you know that, Michael Porter Jr.? As Michael Porter Jr. was on with the Will Cain show on ESPN Radio. He gives the numbers, doesn't say the team. So Sacramento, Atlanta, Memphis, Dallas, Orlando. That's what he was talking about. As I mentioned before, if someone else, if I'm the Bulls or if I'm a team and I know that Porter's there, I may not, I probably would just pass. He sounds confident, says that he's a perfect fit for the NBA. That's fine. Okay. So the smart ass in me would tell you that Mikal Bridges at 7, if he's there, the Bulls would take him because they love players with tread on the tires. He's a junior, comes from a good program. And let me just say this about the Bulls. I'm not knocking the Bulls for wanting to find players that come from good programs. They don't all have to come from Duke or Villanova or UNC or Duke. I understand that. What I'm saying is that the trend in the NBA is not necessarily to take an upperclassman. But if the Bulls want to take Mikal Bridges, and we've heard a lot about him because nobody's covered the NBA draft like this show over the last 3 weeks, if Bridges is there, I would say that maybe 80 to 90% of the people that we've had on, college coaches, college experts, they love Bridges. They all love Bridges. There's been very little negative about Bridges, the 6'7 shooting guard, small forward from Villanova. If he's there because the Bulls love a sophomore, junior, kind of like in the Valentine mold or like the Portis mold, because I think they took Portis when he was a sophomore, if I'm not mistaken, then they'll take him. All I'm telling you is that at 7, the Bulls can find quality, whether that's Wendell Carter, the center out of Duke, whether it's Kevin Knox, who I saw in person at Kentucky when I was in Lexington. Kevin Knox at 6'9", or Shea Alexander, the freshman, the 6'6 guard out of Kentucky, is going to be tremendous. They're going to be really good players. And again, I think it's depending on the system, like anything else, right? So I think that the Bulls will find someone quality at 7, and they will probably reach at 22 and find someone that they can kind of mold and shape. I will say this, because the Bulls don't have a second-round pick, and I don't expect them to have one, you better make sure that you score on 7 and 22. Find someone that can go along with the core that you already have. I think that's very important. You got to be able to do that. So it's interesting to hear from Jonathan Giovanni. He's from ESPN.com, right, guys? Giovanni?
Yep.
I continue to read his stuff here. He talks about the number one pick in the draft, which is DeAndre Ayton. And by far, everyone said that Ayton is going to be the best. There's a gap between 1 and 2. So if Marvin Bagley, the 6'11 power forward from Duke, if he's second, or if Trae Young is second, or Jaren Jackson Jr. is second or third, there's a gulf between first and second based on Ayton's ability. But also, Giovanni also says that there's some weaknesses with DeAndre Ayton.
Well, this is a big question mark. This is the guy that's never really been coached, high school and AAU. He's always in teams that he was the only guy. He wasn't really asked to play a lot of defense. There's some question marks about his instincts. You see here, struggles a little bit to step out and pick and roll situations. A little bit heavy-footed at times. A little bit. The reactions are a split second late. Not much of a shot blocker. Doesn't really get in the passing lanes. And, you know, in today's NBA, Joe, and as you know, you have to be able to anchor a defense, if you're a center.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to blame his lack of coaching for his inability to perform defensively, because that's the same thing that allows him to perform offensively.
So the thoughts there from Jonathan Giovanni and also Jalen Rose from GetUp. So we'll see. I think it's going to be fascinating. Don't forget, our coverage of the draft will be Thursday night, 6 o'clock. The only place you can hear it on the radio is ESPN 1000. So 6 o'clock, as you're driving home or if you're going to get ready for the draft, especially for those of you getting ready for work, you third shifters are going to be up a little earlier, check out our draft coverage on ESPN 1000. You can hear it on the radio with Chris Bleck, Nick Friedel, and yours truly. We'll break it down and have fun at the Advocate Center in Chicago. As you are listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, we'll have Tales from the Hood coming up at the bottom of the hour. We turn now to a four-time NBA champion, a man who covers the NBA and the Chicago Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago. It is Will Perdue. And Will joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Call number 32. How are you?
Well,
Well, I'm doing well, man. As Thursday gets closer, I'm anxious. I'm getting more excited. I mean, there's a lot of chatter on Twitter, so I'm ready for this thing to happen because, it's time for the Bulls to make a move.
Well, here's what I've been saying about the draft over the last month plus, Will, is that at 7, the Bulls will be able to find someone that they like. And I know we talk about this all the time every draft, but I really believe this because the trend is guys that are 6'8", 6'9", athletic, long, the ability to knock down jumpers from the outside that can be able to crash the basket. I think at 7, someone should be there that they can utilize and be part of this system. Do you see the same thing?
Absolutely. I think they'll have numerous choices. That's why, I think it's important that they've done their homework. They know exactly who they want. They have numerous options. So plan A, plan B, plan C. Who knows? They may get a call at the last second offering a trade. And have they, gone through that scenario in their minds or in the war room in case that does happen so that they're prepared for anything and everything. So that they do the right thing. John Paxson has said they have to hit a home run with this 7th pick.
So I look at 7, and I want to ask you because I need your college eyes for this. When it comes to Michael Porter, there's been mixed reviews, Will, as you well know. It's one thing to look at Michael Porter and say, here's a guy that's had first pick talent before the injury. But the back is something that is troublesome to me because – if I'm a GM, I look at Porter and I know how good he is. The only thing is that if there is a back issue and I draft him and I know that coming in the door, that's a problem. How much do you think that weighs into maybe the Bulls thinking? Because Porter might be there at 7, but then the back is always an issue.
Well, my understanding is the Bulls love his upside, his potential, because of what he was coming into college. But because of the back issue, I think they're very hesitant. And unfortunately for Derrick Rose, I think that both positively and negatively, he's always going to have an impact on this organization because of not only how he started, meaning MVP status, but how he kind of finished his career in Chicago, always being hurt. And it seems like that will always cast a shadow over this organization. And for some people think they're snake bit because of that, and I think that would cause them to kind of lean away a little bit.
What do you think of Mikal Bridges from Villanova as a junior? I know the Bulls do like some college kids, sometimes a little tread on the tires that have been either a sophomore or a junior. What do you think of Bridges on the next level?
Well, I love the fact that he can shoot the basketball. As you mentioned, as we started out, 6'8", 6'9", shoot the basketball, stretch out the floor. I think he's got incredible upside. He seems, quite honestly, to be the best fit. But what we don't know is, would Wendell Carter still be there? Or for some unknown reason, would Mo Bamba still be there? That's why I say the Bulls have to have so many dry runs as to if A, then B. It kind of reminds me back in the day when computers first came out. Remember that?
Right.
Line one. What if line two here, line six, if line 1, 3, 5, and 7 are this, go back to line one, so that's it. You can't get caught with your pants down. You have to have so many variables, so many options, because who knows what's going on. And that's the other thing right now. You probably noticed, Jonathan, as we get closer to Thursday, you're getting more and more scuttlebutt about teams putting together trades, teams wanting to move up in the draft, teams wanting to move down in the draft. There's so much going on because of the amount of talent that is in, I think, in the 1 through 10 range.
Based on the core, as we talked to Will Perdue with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN app, Will, based on the core of players that we have seen here with this Bulls team, it was hard to know what, with Lauri Markkanen along with Dunn and Levine looked like because they just weren't together long enough for us to really get a feel, just 20-plus games or so. So I'm wondering, do the Bulls feel that they're close to try to get back in the playoffs? Because I know that all the scuttlebutt in the conversation with John Paxson is to try to reset this thing and get younger. But I'm wondering, with the core plus what they could do in the draft, do they feel that maybe they could be a playoff team?
I don't see why not. I know some people think that's a stretch. But we're not talking about being a contender.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about being a playoff team. We're talking about seventh or eighth seed. I think if, you know, you win 45, 46 games, that should put you in the playoffs next year, in my opinion. You know, and that's the other thing. Where does LeBron go? Is he still in Cleveland next year? We talked about trades. Toronto apparently is saying anybody is available because they want a top 10 pick. How does that change the face of that organization? The only team right now in the East that are, let me back up. The only two teams that we feel like, and from everything that I've read, people that I've talked to, are they going to be anywhere similar to what they were last year, is Boston, who should even be better, and Washington. But at the end of the day, Washington is Washington. Who are they? They're a playoff team. Don't think they're a contender. But because of all these variables in play, and if Levine plays the whole season, obviously Dunn plays the whole season, Markkanen improves off last year, the seventh pick, was the 22nd pick, I don't see why they shouldn't be in the playoffs. I think that if they don't make the playoffs with what we saw from last year, the two incoming guys in the first round, who knows what they do through free agency, I think if they don't make the playoffs, it should be a disappointment.
After DeAndre Ayton, who's going to be taken first by Phoenix in the draft, is there another big that impresses you that's after Ayton?
Nobody of his stature or his caliber, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Everybody else after him is kind of a tweener, in my opinion, a stretch. Maybe play the three, maybe play the four, maybe play the five. But I don't think there's really a guy like Ayton outside of him after him that I think could have the impact that he could have. More so the bigs are guys that are playing in the type of system that Golden State runs, Houston runs, what Fred Hoiberg would love to do as far as get out, shoot a lot of threes, shoot quick, and hope you're making them.
What about Trae Young, the point guard from Oklahoma? You know, when I was watching him last year, well, I saw a guy that really played well in the non-conference. As the season progressed, he was not as effective. I wonder how Sacramento or Atlanta or maybe Memphis looks at Trae Young, because I think that he's a talent. But I think that toward the end of his season with the Sooners kind of surprised me. What do you think?
Well, before I answer, let me ask you this question. If he's available at 7, would you pick him if you were the Bulls?
At 7, yes.
Okay, see, I'm concerned about that. And I would not. He, in my opinion, only shot 36% in college, so it wasn't like he was a dead-eye shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody that's going to be of that stature. I don't even want to compare him to Steph Curry. I just want somebody that I know is going to be a dead-eye shooter. Now, I will say this, and I read a great article, and I forgot who wrote it. It might have been by somebody at ESPN, but they were talking about, I think he is a better point guard than he gets credit for because of his ability to push the ball off the floor. They were talking about Oklahoma's offense went from like 40 or 50th in the country up to fourth as far as the speed at which they played because of Trae Young and how he sped up the game. So I have a feeling that Fred Hoiberg likes him. I think the Bulls like him. I don't know if they necessarily love him. I know that's how Fred would like to play. I'm just concerned that he is there, the Bulls would take him. And I'm not saying that's the worst thing that could happen, but I think there are other needs that the Bulls need that need to be met first before you go that route.
Yeah, there's no question. I want to get your thumbnail on him, and also Colin Sexton, the freshman from Alabama. He could be somewhere 9, 10, or 11 in the first round of the draft. What do you think of what Sexton could bring to a team?
Well, I think he can bring a defensive-minded, much like what Chris Dunn is, quite honestly. I mean, I'm going to throw something out at you. If that's the route that the Bulls really want to go, I would go with Shea Alexander from mm-hmm. Kentucky before I went with Trae Young or before I went with Sexton, quite honestly, because of his length, because of his wingspan, because of his ability to run a team. I think he can do a little bit of everything, and I think he's only going to get stronger, he's only going to get bigger, he's only going to get quicker, faster, and his shot will continue to improve.
What's going on with one of your former teams, the Spurs? I know you've been seeing this Kawhi Leonard nonsense. I've already talked to you about this season, Will Perdue. I told you you couldn't hear a pin drop in San Antonio. No kind of controversy, nothing toward that organization. Now the assistants want to go all go find other jobs. Kawhi wants out of San Antonio. This is the first real issue, besides the LaMarcus Aldridge a little bit. Because you and I talked about that too, about how Pop says, I thought I was going to run him like Jack Sigma, run him up and under, and I didn't do what I wanted to do with Aldridge, and that seemed to be squashed. But now what's going on with LaMarcus, with Kawhi Leonard? This is not a good situation.
It really hasn't, and it's starting to shine a bad light on the Spurs and the organization, because this was unheard of. Now, this was also unheard of back in the Tim Duncan days, because they were in David Robinson days, because we were winning championships. I was fortunate to win one, but even after I left, they were still winning championships. So, you know, you have a tendency to bite your tongue, you make a sacrifice for the greater good, and you move forward. But when you're not winning championships, you see players have a tendency to be unhappy. You know, Pop did a great job of smoothing out the LaMarcus Aldridge issue. But maybe by doing that, that created a problem, you know, with Kawhi Leonard. Nobody, and the other thing is, you know, Jonathan, nobody really knows what's going on there. There's so many different opinions. The Spurs really aren't talking. It almost seemed like during the playoffs, Pop would occasionally send a message to Kawhi and his people. His people would never respond. And then all of a sudden you see a statement like, well, everything's moving along according to plan. And I'm like, whose plan? The Spurs' plan? Kawhi's plan? And now there's reports out there that people are they're saying, I stand by my reporting. I'll stake my claim, put my career on the line. Kawhi Leonard wants out. To me, because of what I've experienced, until they actually trade him, I'll believe it then, because I just refuse to think that Kawhi Leonard would want to give up that much money to go elsewhere. And I know a lot of people, if you've looked at the numbers, if he continues to sign 1 and 2 year deals, you know, at the end of what, 7 years, it'd only be about $30 million difference, only $30 million difference.
Right.
But because now he is somewhat, you know, air quotes, damaged goods, I'm not sure he nor his agent or his people want to go through a scenario of signing 1 and 2 year deals so they can control where they go and their outcome when there's going to be $200 and some million sitting on the table with the Spurs begging him to take it.
Well, is there someone in the draft, especially in that first round, that you look at that is maybe not talked about enough? Someone that you covered for Westwood One that maybe we should be keeping our eyes on, especially late in the first?
Yes. And the interesting thing is, you brought that up, the point guard for West Virginia. I was just thinking of his name, and I just forgot it.
Javon Carter.
Javon Carter. I think he can guard right now. I think he can play right now. And the one thing the teams are looking at, okay, if you're not necessarily a great shooter, can you be a lockdown defender? Because what do you need? I personally feel like he could guard Steph Curry. I feel like he could guard Klay Thompson. I feel like he could guard Durant. I think he can guard numerous positions. And I think that makes him very attractive. And I know that when this whole thing started, he was a second-round guy. And as we get closer to Thursday, I think you're going to constantly hear his name mentioned as a guy moving up the draft. And as you talked about, late first, maybe late middle of the first.
So lastly, Will, and I appreciate your time. So with the two picks that the Bulls have, if they're just going to stick with 7 and 22, you prefer for them to be able to get one of these bigs here, one of these long athletic guys, and then from then the 22nd pick, you'd like for them to get maybe a guard? Is that the needs they need to address?
Well, I think you need to get, they need to do one thing. With both picks, I think they need to draft somebody that can play more than one position. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, if Mo Bamba's available, I think I take him because, in my opinion, he's a game changer defensively because of his length. I think he can create havoc in the paint. But I don't think he'll be available. So if that's the case, I think, as you talked about, you know, Bridges from Villanova can play the 3 or the 4, possibly the 5 if you go small. There seems to be that there's an agreement. The kid from, is it Boise State?
Mm-hmm.
Already has a
Hutchinson.
yeah, already has an agreement that if he's still there, the Bulls are drafting him. He's like the stopgap. Now, guys that I've talked to out on the West Coast said that he's a legitimate player in the NBA. Nobody sat here and said he's an all-star or he's a superstar, but a guy that can be an impact player. And if that's the case, I'll rely on those that are more knowledgeable than me. I'll say they've done a good job. But as you mentioned, you know, earlier as we were talking, it's not about the draft. At the same time, we got to take these guys we draft, we got to develop them, but at the same time, our Dunn, Markkanen, and Zach LaVine working together here in Chicago, playing 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, because you talked about they didn't play enough together last year. They need those reps so that we're not sitting here listening to the Bulls talking about, okay, we're going into training camp, we're starting over, it's going to take a while, these guys got to get reps together. They're like, no, man, that's what the summer's for. Training camp is to get ready for the season, and let's move forward by leaps and bounds, not baby steps.
My friend, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, Jonathan, I appreciate it, man. Let's see what happens on Thursday.
Looking forward to it. It is Will Perdue, the four-time NBA champion, with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood is next.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Oh, it's Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. And Tales from the Hood is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats, they return to Ryan Field this fall after a 10-win season to host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more. Buy a ticket to NUSports.com. NUSports.com, by God, we have got a sponsor. Thank you, Dell.
Told you.
Tales from the Hood, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. But we have got some breaking Tales from the Hood news for you here on the program. As we turn to the undefeated, Aaron Dotson is there. But there were some glitches there that wasn't... I agree with you. Aaron Dotson with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Aaron.
What's up, Jay Hood? How's it going?
Good, man. How's that toilet?
You're never going to forget that, Jay Hood. We got to let it go.
No, it's a highlight of the show. Are you kidding me? I ask you a question,
I know, right?
and you flush on me. That's awesome. It's really awesome. All right, so you put this out here on Twitter. And again, if you're talking about fashion and culture, sports, you always go to Aaron Dotson on theundefeated.com. The story coming across, Jay-Z was named president of Puma Basketball, but it's not really president. It's what is it now, Eric? It's not quite president.
Creative director
For Puma. So this story coming across today, what does that mean for Puma?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. I mean, who is winning more than Jay-Z right now? I mean, he's on a worldwide tour with his wife, Beyonce. They just dropped an album, and then just in terms of creativity and what he means to the culture, he means everything right now. So for Puma to grab him is huge. I mean, they're really making a push back into basketball, and this is going to be huge for the brand, especially with the new guys that they've signed heading into the draft.
Nick DePaul also writing about this on ESPN.com. In advance of this week's draft, Puma has already signed projected first-round picks DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley III, Zaire Smith as well to multi-year footwear and apparel endorsement deals. The last time Puma had like a big person on here, Puma last signed Vince Carter back in 98 to a 10-year deal. Let me ask you this. Do you own a pair of Pumas?
I do not. I do not own a pair of Pumas. I don't think I've actually ever owned a pair of Pumas.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of basketball shoes, they haven't really been relevant outside of the Clydes, who they also signed to a lifetime deal today, Clyde Frazier. But I've never owned a pair of Pumas. But Puma is still relevant. I mean, they're very big in the lifestyle lane. They have really big deals with Big Sean and Rihanna. Rihanna has a very popular line of slides, but I do not own a pair. Maybe I will be getting a pair in the future.
It's an okay shoe. It was a shoe back in the day that I might have had. I do have a pair of Pumas. It's low cut, then they're blue with the white stripes on the side. It's still in the box, though, Aaron. Like, there was no reason to pull it out. It's a pair of Pumas, right? But now I guess I put the shoe stretcher on there. Maybe I might sport them like this summer. But I have a pair. They're in the closet. I just never thought about it. But it's just amazing. Now, this brand here, you mentioned that there are some people that still rock this brand, but it is not as popular now without without Sean Carter on it. It definitely is going to be able to rise to a different level. The other question I would have for you is with Kawhi Leonard. I'm sure you'll be writing about this on theundefeated.com at some point. Do you believe that one of the reasons why he wants to leave is because if he goes to Los Angeles or go to a different market, then maybe his shoe deal will be able to be on the rise? Because at this point, is he making a ton from his shoe?
I mean, I think it's a big factor. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, if he goes that way, like you said, it's a bigger market, more marketability. I mean, I would like to see Kawhi Leonard get a signature sneaker. I mean, he is probably one of the top players in the league, and he hasn't gotten his own signature sneaker yet. So whether that's with Jordan or whether he decides to leave Jordan and join another brand, I hope whoever nabs him gets this guy a signature sneaker, and he might be able to benefit where he's playing outside of San Antonio.
If you are going to buy some Pumas, Aaron Dotson, please tweet it out so we can see what you did. See which ones you bought. I want you to. I'll pull out the old box of Pumas I have too. Hope they still fit. It's been a while.
Summer shoe.
Right, exactly. I can't wait to see your Puma slides. you guys will do it just for Sean Carter. You're going to pull it out. All right, man. As always, I'm glad you spent some time with us, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, James. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Aaron Dotson from theundefeated.com. He'll be writing about this, I'm sure, on theundefeated.com with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All right. So that was our breaking tales news. Well, let me ask you, both of you, Felix and Eric, have you ever bought a pair of Pumas?
I don't think I have, no.
I have.
Are you wearing some now?
No, I'm not wearing some now.
Okay.
But I had a pair of Pumas. The high school I went to, their mascot was a Puma. So we thought it would be cool to wear Puma gear. That was probably the only time I would wear Puma gear.
Were they, did they have fur, those Pumas? Mm-hmm. Is that like the mascot? Were they furry?
No, they weren't.
They were.
Some of those Pumas are
just,
furry.
Just
though.
The stripe, though. The stripe is a little furry, but it's. I mean, when I think furry, I'm thinking, yeah.
My, I have a lot of friends who played soccer, like all through like high school and club teams. A couple that played in college, and they all wore Pumas pretty consistently while playing soccer.
I do have a pair of Pumas. I just have not worn them. Just like.
I can only picture one style of Puma shoes. Like, I can picture what it looks like in my head, and it's just like the Puma indoor soccer shoe. That's the only thing I can picture.
That's right.
I don't know what else they've made.
So, I mean, it's good, but it takes like a Jay-Z to be able to.
It's all it takes.
To revive a brand, you know, like this. So, all right, let's move on here. We got other stuff we got to get to here. Do you want me to do this Oklahoma City story?
Felix said hot off the presses. He likes it.
Hot off the presses. All this breaking tales news happens when we get sponsored. Two people were taken into custody after police say they were having sex on the ground near a busy Oklahoma City intersection. Now, okay, so the joke for this segment is we should have called Jim Ross.
Oh, my God. Jim, where were you this afternoon?
We should have called Jim Ross. We could have called him right there in Norman. Two people were taken into custody after police say that they were having sex, by God, on the ground near a busy Oklahoma City intersection. Oklahoma City Police Department reports show that police were contacted, by God, they were contacted at approximately 5:30 p.m. June 15th by a woman who was, by God, at a tire shop at Northwest 10 and Virginia was observed. Two people were under a tree. This is what the woman observed. The woman stated that she saw a man with his pants halfway down on top of a woman. That's how it works. Officers
Yeah, yeah, that's the mechanics of it usually.
The mechanics of it. Thank you very much. Like the monkey wrench over here telling me about the mechanics of it. Officers arrived on the scene and the man rolled off the woman. Police then arrested both subjects, 48-year-old Tony Wills and 42-year-old Verna LeClaire. Officers noted that the intersection had heavy traffic and that the two were in full view of both northbound and southbound lanes of North Virginia. They were both arrested and booked. God. Exposure, obviously indecent exposure and public drunkenness.
Oh, naturally they were drunk, right?
That yes. Makes sense.
All right. There we go.
But you don't have to be drunk to have sex in public.
No, you don't. But in Oklahoma, you do.
Remind me to tell you a story about that one day.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
I feel like I can actually, I got a couple for you too, actually, if you want to play that game. Yeah, I do.
Felix, I understand. All right, so the we won't involve your stories of sexual, exploits when you were in Los Angeles. All right, let's move on to Fort Walton Beach. A woman kicks officer in the crotch, bites his hand, then kicks two more officers. The 31-year-old woman was arrested on five separate charges after attacking multiple people, including three police officers who were trying to get her to leave a bar. Turn the page. According to the report from the Fort Walton Beach Police Department, the Tennessee woman was at The Block on June 9th, that's the name of the bar, when she was asked to leave by bar staff. She then struck a person multiple times and was asked to leave by a police officer. She kicked the officer in the crotch and then bit his hand, drawing blood. The officer went to the hospital for treatment. Other officers arrived to try to get the woman into the patrol car, and she kicked another officer in the legs, then tried to put her in the car, and then she continued to kick once again inside the car. Gosh, three counts of felony battery on a law enforcement officer, one count of felony resisting arrest, and one count of misdemeanor battery. There you go.
She's really utilizing the kick there. There's like seven different kicks going on.
It also says here she used to play soccer.
That go figure, right?
Friends kind of woman.
Know it.
So there you go. Eric Ostrowski.
Florida woman shoots husband in the family jewels after he tried to take her air conditioner.
More ball stories.
Pretty fitting for this hot weather today. So they are in the process of getting divorced, and the man went to go get his AC unit out of her house and put it in his house.
Yes.
And she decided to take out the 9mm and shoot him right in the wahoo. And she tried to fend him off with a stun gun. Okay, well, I'm gonna set,
stun gun?
According to the report, Dunn sat on the unit. Okay. According to the report, Dunn sat on the unit to prevent the husband and his friend from taking it.
Yeah.
When the husband tried to get her off the AC, she tried to fend him off with a stun gun, then fired a round at her now ex-husband's balls using a handgun. Her husband's brother was unable to restrain Dunn and took his brother to the hospital, police said. Dunn was arrested that day and booked in Columbia County Jail without incident. She later told investigators she did not intend to shoot her husband. She only wanted to scare him. He's scared now, so she got that accomplished.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty hot out. If someone's taking my AC unit out of my house right now, not happy.
So, you know what? She's in the right.
Right. I mean, it's...
She's in the right.
Grand theft air conditioner.
Somebody try to steal my air conditioner, I'm shooting him in the balls too.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to mess with me right now in this heat, I'm not going to bed sweaty. You're going to the hospital.
Felix, is she in the right for doing that?
She is definitely in the right.
So it's unanimous.
So I want to make sure, because he is the angel of nuance, to borrow a Levitard show phrase.
Yes,
you got to make sure that Felix is on board, because if someone's stealing from you, you have to be able to retaliate.
That is correct.
And then pray later. There you go. Felix Reyes.
Manly's wife over salt on popcorn.
Yes. Wait, what?
Man leaves wife over salt on popcorn. A bucket of salted popcorn was the last straw for a man in the Milwaukee area. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, police were called to the multiplex in the town of Brookfield late last month. According to the report, a woman there said her husband and she were in the middle of a major fight. She told police that the bought popcorn before the movie, and her husband told her not to put salt on it. She says she bought the popcorn and wanted to put salt on it. So she did after she walked away. The newspaper reported that after that woman's husband found out she assaulted the popcorn, he told her their marriage was over. The newspaper said that the man then refused to watch the movie, but his wife didn't want him to drive while angry. So she kept her car keys. She watched the movie alone. And even after the movie, she says she wouldn't let her husband drive because he drives too fast when he's angry. So he refused to get in the car. The newspaper reported that even though her husband didn't threaten her, she didn't want to give police her husband's information. Officer said that he's an adult and can make his own decisions. I love that part.
How did they get to marriage way when it comes to salt on popcorn ruins it? Like, how did you not know there would be a salt issue before marriage came?
Wasn't this the conversation we had last week about the Ariana Grande thing, the 3-week marriage?
It could be.
You need time. You need time. Something like that is important.
I know that we had 3 choices for a petty story of the weekend, but that has to be
yes, right?
The winner going away, right?
Divorce over salted popcorn.
What?
It's insane. Who eats unsalted popcorn anyways, by the way?
Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. Who eats unsalted popcorn anyway? Me, somebody else. That's the choices.
That's the best. Yes. Me, somebody else. Yeah,
me or somebody else. Those are the 2 choices.
I like that.
Who eats unsalted popcorn? No, I better go. It can't get any better than that.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we talk a little bit about baseball. No Cubs, no Sox right now. Both games are delayed. So why don't we talk about some baseball, especially with Pedro Gomez, who covers baseball like a blanket for ESPN.com. Talk about an article that came out from USA Today a couple days ago about how some of the numbers are down in baseball. Also, back to the NBA draft with Myron Metcalf at 9:35. All part of the mix right here on Under the Hood.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the mic.
Yo, J. Hood, talk that barbershop talk, dude.